Hello and welcome to the Out of Ink podcast with myself, Bea Baranoska and Molly Lemon. This is a podcast where two anxious creatives talk openly and honestly about life as an artist.
I was just reminiscing on how we used to get a gin and like yeah. really calmly record in the evening, and it was quite a relaxing thing. And now it's like, when can we find 45 minutes to quickly record?
Yeah, wow, those days feel like a long time ago. As it stands today, I have left a very, very grumpy baby with Adam, and a very stressed Adam who's like, but when are we going to have dinner?
Yeah, it's hard.
And then I said to Molly, no, we've got to be finished by 6 because that's when Maxie has his bath. So we are literally on the clock today.
We really are. We'll be finished before 6, it'll be fine. We'll fly through this.
Okay. Positive, yeah. Positive thoughts.
What have we been up to since we last recorded, which was actually only like 2 weeks ago because we were late with the last record, maybe 3 weeks ago.
We had a lovely meetup yesterday at Durham Park. We realised that Durham Park is sort of halfway between us both.
For people that don't know, it's a National Trust property, so it's like a nice garden, parklands, and then a fancy old house.
Very nice. We loved the gardens. We showed Maxie all the flowers, and Molly very kindly volunteered to carry him around in the sling. The sling is back-breaking work, so if you have a baby and you find someone who volunteers to carry your baby for you, just say yes. And and be forever grateful to that person.
I was like totally okay at first, and then it got to the point where I was like, I'm in quite a lot of pain in my lower back now, but I was like, I can't say anything. She carried this baby for 9 months and then like 5 months out of the womb, so I just have to suck it up.
It's the biggest source of argument for me and Adam is who's going to carry Maxie today.
Oh really?
And like, for me, I'm like, well, surely Adam, it's you, because as you just said, I carried him for 9 months, then I birthed him, so I feel like there's...
You're always going to win that,
well,
surely.
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? But I do lose the argument occasionally and think it's very unfair.
That is unfair. I'm on your side.
Thanks.
I'll have a word with him next time I see him.
Anyway, we had a lovely time. We had a lovely day out. And was that yesterday?
That was yesterday, yeah.
Wow.
How time flies.
How was your day today?
I finished clearing out my studio, my print studio. So I like was doing all the mopping off the floor type stuff, cleansing it, ready for the next printmaker to come and make some lovely art there.
Sad, but also, yeah, and new beginnings, making way for someone else. And you were so lucky to have that space.
Yeah, and also just really looking forward to having everything in one building. So, like, if I want to print, I just walk, you know, less than a minute to my press.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, before I had to plan, and then I'd always forget things. So, like, there'll be positives to it as well, but it's hard to fit everything back in once you've had another space, trying to get everything back in the old space. Like,
difficult,
I booked a tip run on Monday. I just need to chuck loads of stuff out.
I mean, lovely though, because my priorities are definitely travel as little as possible.
And be near a fridge.
Yeah.
All the food.
A nice toilet. Your sofa.
Yeah.
Nice.
All the things you need to have a good life. Should we head on into the anxiety scale?
Let's.
So as soon as you told me what you wanted to put forward as your anxiety scale, I was like, ah, you've won. Because I'd suggested fruit. And what had you suggested?
I suggested camping.
Yeah, and you won 61%.
Did I?
Yeah, 61 to 39.
That's exciting. I don't win anything.
I'm so pleased for you.
Yeah, I was very excited to win. Basically, I chose it because I recently went camping on a hen weekend. It was my... No, it wasn't my first night away, because that was with you, but it was my like a first full weekend away from the baby. So, you know, camping was fresh in my mind.
Yes. I love camping.
Do you want to go first?
No, you go first, because you won the poll.
Okay. So, 10, best non-anxious day ever, and the best part about camping I've put as stargazing. Oh, you just don't do it otherwise, I don't think. I mean, maybe you do, but I just really like the novelty of being outside And obviously camping is usually quite rural, so the stars are quite clear. Not having anywhere to go or anywhere to be and just sitting and looking at the stars. Lovely.
I love stargazing. The first couple of years of mine and Sam's relationship when we were like 17, 18 was like the evenings lying by the river with a little campfire, and then we'd fall asleep looking up at the stars. Aww. And then we'd wake up at about 12:30, 1 in the morning and be absolutely freezing and then go up to the house. It was lovely. Yeah.
Well, that's such a nice little story. Thanks for sharing.
Never do that anymore.
No, you should.
Yeah, no time.
It'd be irresponsible for me to do that now.
Yeah. You've got other priorities.
What's that noise? Oh, it's the baby. He's been crying for 2 hours.
I'm just looking at the stars, okay? Just need a bit of time to myself.
Right, number one, and I don't think anyone will disagree with me here. This is like a very anxious day, and in my opinion, the worst part about camping. And I've just classified it as camping hygiene. Your showers, your toilets,
or lack of it.
Horrible. I've never been to a campsite where I've thought this is a lovely toilet, because they're just, you know, there's quite often not very many toilets and showers. Lots of people dislike queuing for them, dislike all the, you know, horrible stuff on the floor, spiders on the ceiling, because they're outdoor showers and toilets, and just feels dirty. You have a shower and you come out and you don't feel any cleaner.
I do know what you mean. It's definitely the downside.
Yeah, I love home comfort. I would rather just go and like pee in a trench somewhere than use a campsite toilet. But I think it's probably frowned upon.
I literally, it's taken me until maybe last year, I just wouldn't really use public toilets, just so like fearful of them. But now I'm like, no, it's way worse to not go than it is to go. But like, it took me like 30 years to get find the strength.
Also, it's really horrible when you've just got cozy in your sleeping bag and you're like, oh no, I need a wee. And then you have to...
But you always go behind the tent then. You don't go to the toilet block.
But if you do decide to go to the toilet block, and then it's like, you know, the horrible dark walk to the toilets and then sitting there alone, just horrible. Okay. And then today, because my week started off so well because of our lovely Durham day. So today I was like, I'm not going to let this week go downhill. I'm going to keep up the momentum. So I've had a quite nice day. So I am a 7.
So I've got to guess.
Yeah, would you like to guess? I mean, there's so many elements to camping. I'll be so impressed if you get this.
I think it's amazing. We've been doing this podcast for over 2 years now, and we still can't get the fact we have to say what the thing is, and then the other person has to guess the number. We keep getting it wrong.
Oh, no, well, either way works. Fine.
Okay, it's just harder to win this way because, you know, it's lots of things. Number 7. Okay, I think it is... It's hard to also think of something that I haven't already written down.
Such a long silence. I hate you keep that in.
We won't be done by 6 if I can't... Yeah, we won't be done by 6 if I can't...
Can I put you out of your misery?
Yeah. No. I'm not going to give in. Hang on. I'm going to say... Hot chocolate.
No, but lovely. Lovely. No, I've put camping clothing. What I mean by that is I love when it's, you know, you're outside and you're cold and you're just adding layers and you've got like your camping fleece and your camping, you know, like leggingy things that you wouldn't wear otherwise. You've got your extra thick socks. You've got an excuse to sleep in socks. Lovely. And me and Molly were literally discussing how good a fleece was because I bought Maxi his first ever fleece yesterday. And he looks so cute in it. But I feel like, and I love a fleece, right? But I don't tend to really wear them unless I'm camping or like, you know, out on a long walk or something. Adventure clothing. Nice.
I don't know. I think I always dress like I'm going camping. I live in camping clothes.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know, like the layering up.
Yeah, that doesn't appeal to me. Why would you want to, like, then you're just restricted. I'm not down with this as a 7. I think this should be lower, but, you know.
Well, I look forward to hearing what you rate in your camping scale.
Okay, so shall I do my scale?
Yes, that's generally how it works.
Sorry, I'm lost.
She's being slow because she knows I'm on a time schedule.
That'd be very vindictive of me. So number 10, my least anxious day ever. I'm having a great day. This is a bit niche, but when we used to go camping on the Scilly Isles, there was just outside the toilet block a box, and it was called the reject box. And basically people that didn't want something would put it in there. So like, say you were going home and you couldn't carry, I don't know, a tin of custard. You haven't eaten it. Yes. You put it in the reject box.
A free-for-all, so you can pick some.
Oh, so nice. I'd go multiple times a day and go through and, oh my God, there's something new there. Like, bring back half an opened tomato ketchup bottle, you know. Or, like, one time I picked up a teapot and took it home to my parents as a souvenir. Like, it's just, like, free stuff and you don't know what you're getting.
Very frugal. Well done.
Just the best thing. I loved it.
That does sound good. Do you know whether it still exists?
No, because I haven't been back in ages. I do want to go back, but the thought of being an adult and having to pack for camping, like, all the adults did all the stuff like that. And, like, you know, all the cooking stuff. I can't fathom it. I might, you know, get an Airbnb.
Well, yeah, the last time I went camping, it was glamping. So it was, like, a really nice tent and an actual bed. And I thought, no, I can't go back to sleeping on the floor from this.
My most anxious day ever is, you know, you're waking up and the sun is on the tent, but it's, like, being a damp night. So it's, like, it feels damp, but it's really hot. It's so hot. Mm. And you're in your sleeping bag because it has been cold in the night, but suddenly you've never been so warm and you're sweaty and you're, like, you need to get out. But then you get out and it's dewy and it's horrible. Like, literally horrible.
Yeah, that is horrible.
I feel stressed about it. Mm. And then today I am...
Not the number, the thing.
I know. Today I am cooking breakfast outside. So, like, maybe some eggs or some porridge. We used to add condensed milk to the porridge, you know, real sweet.
Oh, delicious. Yeah.
So just, like, cooking outside.
I think that's probably a 7.
It's an 8.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Yeah. I feel quite
relaxed. Congratulations on your number 8 day.
Thank you. It's been a while.
Yeah, that is nice.
Lovely anxiety scale. Great suggestion. Hopefully, you know, it goes back to normal next month and I win the poll. I quite like that they don't know when they're voting on Instagram who suggested whose.
Yeah,
I think people
like
probably
well.
Want you to win. So if they knew, why? Just people would like you more. So if
I just know that's not true. That's not true at all.
If they knew whose it was, you'd always win. But luckily for me, they don't know.
Next week, should we say whose is whose just to test, test the theory?
Because then it will just prove that everyone likes you more and I won't cope with that.
I mean, I don't know where you've got that from, because I think everyone likes you more. I mean, you're a celebrity. I think Molly's going to need to drop me at some point. She has recently been on Radio 4 and she's leaving me behind.
I don't think a 5-minute segment on Radio 4 quite makes me a celebrity, but...
It does. No, it does.
Even if I become as famous as Kim Kardashian be... I will Kim still Kardashian. Be your best friend.
Is Kim Kardashian the benchmark for popularity?
Well, we were talking about them the other day, weren't we, on the podcast, so, you know.
Thank you, I'll hold you to that, because I'll still be here, you know, going nowhere.
Trust me, the only way is down now. Anyway.
Okay, so this week we are talking about product launches.
Yes, and like product launch... Well, yeah, you kind of summed it up. I don't know why I'm trying to... Basically... I'm such an idiot, honestly. Basically, whether you're going to sneak a product onto your shop when you finished it, or if you're going to be a bit more structured with it.
I used to just sneak them in there. I never, ever did product launches. Mm. And then, I think probably, I met Molly and COVID happened. My business got a little bit more popular and I thought... Let's hold these products back and let's launch them. Mm. So this is interesting because I have probably an opinion on both sides of this topic.
Same.
I do think that you probably inspired me to start doing them. Because you know, it's your business model is product. I don't think you've ever just snuck stuff in your shop, have you?
I did. There was a time. I didn't know you. Sadly, you weren't in my life. I don't know how
that
cope.
Is sad.
So basically, from 2016 to 2019, I was sneaking things onto my shop. Oh. I'd finish them and then I'd just chuck them on there and be like, oh, they're there. But and no one would be like, oh, cool. They'd be like, no one cares. No one wants your work. Sorry.
No, but you weren't telling people it was there for the taking.
I was telling people, but no one was interested. So then in 2019, I decided to get a newsletter, start a newsletter. Mm. And I sent my first newsletter in May 2019. I released a turtle print. I remember it well. And suddenly, like, I sold quite a lot. Maybe I sold 20 prints. I'd never sold that many in one go before.
Exciting,
and I was like, oh, okay, interesting. And ever since then, I have only ever done newsletter launches. That's my how I got into doing it, basically.
That's really interesting. And did you accumulate quite a lot of newsletter subscribers before you started the newsletter, or did it all happen at once?
I think I had 120 when I sent my first newsletter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm.
Okay, questions?
Mm-hmm.
How long should the build-up be to a product launch?
How long do you normally build up for?
It depends, doesn't it? Because last year for the calendar, the bloody calendar, I started illustrating it in like February or something. And then with the aim to launch it for maybe September time.
Mm.
And it felt like a huge burden, to be honest, because I wanted to show people in February, but also I didn't want to bore people so that by the time it got to September, they were like, we have seen this calendar every single week.
Yeah.
So I think what I did is sort of tease bits of it, maybe not in February, because that's early, maybe from like April. And then probably 2 months before I launched it, I really then started showing it and started making little, you know, like teaser reels, putting it on story, putting little bits on stories. I think that's what I did. But it's a worry, isn't it? Because you don't want to do it too early and then people forget about it. But you also can't just sneak it up on people because people might want to prepare for it, save up for it, buy it instead of something else they're going to buy, you know, so difficult. Difficult question.
Yeah.
Sorry for my really inconcise answer.
No, it's helpful.
I think it depends on the product, because obviously that was a dated product and it's a seasonal product as well. So I knew that the marketing was going to ramp up for it in the autumn.
Yeah. I'd say normally it used to be a bit longer, maybe 4 weeks, and now I do 3 or 2 weeks. Very rarely I do like a 1 week build up, but that's if I've maybe been struggling a bit mentally and I've taken a bit of time off socials, come back and gone, oh my God, I need to launch this. But like ideally I'd have 2 or 3 weeks, like not so long that people are like, okay, come on now. And not so short that people don't understand what I'm launching. And there's like, it needs a build up, but not too much of a build up.
Yeah, I agree.
You need like a happy medium. And also I was a bit worried because I used to show my work as I made it a bit more. But back in the day, it hasn't happened so much anymore. And I'm actually way more unbothered by it. But people would sometimes, so I'd be showing what I was making, and then before I'd even got to put it on my shop, someone had made another version of it and had placed it on their shop. So I became a little bit more cagey. So normally I've made most of the print before, and I've actually shown the making process so that I know I can be the first to put it on my shop, even if someone else takes major, major inspiration from it and gets it on their shop quickly.
Yeah, you want to get people interested and create sort of a bit of excitement around it.
Mm.
But yeah, it's working out.
You need to protect yourself as well, if that's something that does happen to you.
I don't think I've ever shown the whole thing as well. Like, I think I only just show snippets, and then when I launch it, then you can see the whole thing. I don't know if that's right or wrong.
I show the making of it and snippets, and then maybe 5 days before would show the whole thing. 5 days before leading up to it. But yeah, it's sad, but sometimes you have to be a little bit careful.
Be a bit cagey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, how often should I do a product launch?
I think any more than monthly is possibly too much for your customers and for yourself. Every 2 months, every quarterly is also good, but I think more than once a month is too much for anyone involved.
Also, it depends how many products you're launching, because say you do a product launch and it's, I don't know, 20 items.
Mm.
That's a lot of work. That's a lot of new products up on your shop. People aren't going to expect that level of consistency from you throughout the year.
Mm.
Whereas if you're doing a launch and you're maybe only launching one thing, then they might be eager for more sooner.
So that should be monthly, I'd say. Like a print a month might be quite a nice goal for you. Like, or it doesn't have to be a print. It's just...
Yeah, you just got to base it on your workload, what you're making and what works for you. People will go along with it.
Yeah. It can be quite nice to structure. Like, if you're finding it hard to motivate yourself, it can be quite nice to say, okay, I'm going to do a print release or, I don't know, a mug release or whatever you make on this day each month. But then also make sure you, like, I normally try and give myself January off. You know, like, be aware that it will get more stressful towards Christmas and it doesn't have to be that rigid.
And if you have it in your mind, though, it does give you something to work towards. So if you're feeling like you're lacking in inspiration or you just don't really know what's happening, you could set yourself a date and go, I just want to put some new work out into the world and I'm going to aim to do it then.
Although when I used to do it monthly, so I did a print release every month, releasing 2 to 3 prints a month, and it was so hard and I got so stressed, and it was like, as soon as you send them out, get the orders out, and then it was like, right, back to the drawing board, make the prints, photograph the prints, list the prints, sell the prints. It was horrible. So that's why I went to doing every 2 months.
There's so much anxiety around product launches, because obviously when you're just slipping stuff into your shop, there's less pressure to sell it there and then. But I feel like when you've scheduled a launch and you've done all your marketing, you've done all, like, got it all ready, and you're then expecting the sales after the launch, and it's so anxiety inducing sitting and waiting, isn't it? And like pressing the button, clicking the items onto the shop, and then like there's always the fear that people won't buy things, and then you're like, oh, now I've had an unsuccessful product launch.
That was one of the questions we had, wasn't it? Do you want to read it out? I think it was what you'd summarized just now.
I worry that I'll build up to a launch and then my products won't sell. Yeah, you are not alone. Every single time I do a product launch, I have that feeling, that sort of pit in my stomach that's like, oh, no one's going to buy it. And I know, definitely have had product releases that haven't gone well and have left me feeling like all that work was for nothing.
Yeah, and it's like you've been shouting about it for weeks, like in front of everyone you know and everyone you don't know. It feels public.
I find with Instagram as well, with having a public presence, people almost expect you to come on Instagram the next day and go, thanks so much for all the orders from the launch. So then you're like, oh my god, if I haven't had any orders, people are gonna know because I haven't said thank you so much for all the orders. And then there's that anxiety as well.
Yeah, there's so much anxiety. Like, honestly, in an ideal world, I'd love to just sneak work onto my shop. I hate shouting about my work. I hate the build up, the anxiety, pressing the newsletter, worrying your listings aren't going to work, worrying.
This is giving me anxiety now because I haven't like mentioned my calendar once on my Instagram, and it's August, and I said last year I launched it in September. So
you do look panicked.
I've definitely gone down on the scale to like a solid 5 now.
But I think what we need to say to this person, even though we're feeling intense panic at the thought of not selling anything on a release, but actually if we were talking to each other, we'd say it's okay if it doesn't go well. You've done your best, you've put the work in.
You can't always have your best ever release every time. Like, that's just not sustainable.
Yeah, it is up and down. And also, if you're just starting out or you're just doing your first release, you don't really have a benchmark of like what to expect. I think keep expectations low. Like, people don't need to know if you don't sell anything. They won't know. To not do something for fear of failure feels a bit sad.
No, you can't let that hold you back, no.
You need to just put yourself out there. And yeah, if you don't sell anything, you don't have to tell anyone. But you can tell people and it's still okay.
We've covered that in our Instagram episode if you want to listen back. People way prefer a sob story than you coming on saying, oh, I sold thousands of stuff and now I'm rich. No. They want to hear that you sold one thing and now you're crying in a corner, because it's more relatable.
I literally feel so uncomfortable if I have a release and something sells out, when I have to put it on my story so it sells out. Because I feel like I do just need to let people know. I feel like such a bad person and I hate myself. So that's the other
awful
side of
though,
it too.
Because obviously, like, you need to celebrate your successes and you shouldn't feel awful.
But I'm not even celebrating them though. I don't even do it to celebrate. I just want to let people know it's sold out. But I feel like literally the worst person on earth, because I know what it feels like to see that. And I know, like, I've seen things on Instagram even this year and I've been in tears because I feel like, because it hurts.
Yeah, it does.
Sometimes, because it does, doesn't it? The reality is you can see someone's success, be happy for them, and also be in intense pain yourself. It doesn't make you a bad person, it just means you have feelings.
I think though it's important to remember that probably everyone feels like that, because we're just human. It's impossible to see someone else succeeding and not feel a bit of jealousy there.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't beat yourself up about it. Everyone else is probably feeling the same way.
There's literally no right and wrong in life, is there? Like, you don't sell anything, you feel bad. You sell everything, you feel bad. Like, and there's never really a happy medium, because if you sell kind of middly, there's always part of you that goes, oh, it could have gone a bit better. And then you feel bad for thinking that. Literally, it's impossible.
If you know the answer, you can message us. Right. How do I build up to a product launch without bombarding my audience and coming across as too businessy?
That is tricky balance.
Yeah, because people are following you on Instagram to just see you as a person and just follow your day to day, and then they might not necessarily want to always be kind of, you know, sold stuff.
Yeah, I think the key is to like involve your audience in the process of making what it took to make the products, things that were challenging. I feel like that humanizes it rather than just being like, I've made this and it's for sale here and it's going to be this much and there's only so many, so make sure you buy it because it might sell out. Like, that's not the vibe at all. That's pushy. If you're an artist, act like an artist. Like, you don't have to act like Apple. Do you know what I mean? Can you hear baby crying?
I can hear my baby screaming.
I saw your face and I went, oh no, she's having mum thoughts.
He's like screaming.
Well, extra audio interest for our listeners, if you're happy to stay with us.
Oh, he's really upset. He's really, really...
Do we need
he's
to pause?
Really, really teething today. No, no. I've got to just power through.
It's okay if they can hear. Don't worry about that. What were we talking about? Oh, not being too businessy. Just be yourself. Don't talk to them like, you know, you're trying to sell apples at the market. And also, yeah, don't have the longest build-up ever. Bombarding people with loads of posts, because that will feel businessy. You know, like Apple have been launching their new phone for ages. I don't even know if it's out yet, but I've actually I think it is.
When are they launching their new Mac? Because I need it.
I don't know, but they're clearly not marketing.
No,
it
they're not. I need to know when that's coming, because every time we come and do a podcast record, something else on my computer has broken, or like something else won't update, and I'm like, oh, it's only a matter of time.
I can see Margot look like outside your door.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even know she was there. She's scratching at the door now. There's literally no peace in my house. Either the baby needs me or Margot's door.
Leave B alone. She's trying to be a podcaster for 45 minutes.
She's obviously gone. The baby's crying and I don't want to deal with this. I'm going
it's hurting my ears. Going let me in.
Does doing an occasional product release affect your sales overall, or is it easy to manage? So that's what you were saying about how you used to do monthly and now you do them every other month because it's more manageable.
Yeah, and also I think it's talking about versus sneaking them on your shop or just putting it on rather than actually building up to a launch. Maybe, like, is it easier to manage if you release everything in one go or if you release things bit by bit?
Yeah, I don't really know the answer to this.
I think it's harder to manage doing a big launch. It feels a lot harder emotionally. And, like, you've got to get everything in place.
It that is feels a lot harder. It's so much easier as an introvert to just sneak products onto your shop and then just pretend it hasn't happened.
I think it's less manageable, but it does motivate you a bit more, make you more organised. And financially, I really believe it benefits. There can't, like, all the big companies do this massive marketing thing leading up to something, and they can't be doing that because they feel like it. Like, it is something that works.
Yeah, there's definitely something in it. But you're so right, it's so much more stressful.
Yeah, it's not the easy route, but I think it's the sensible route. If you're wanting to make money from your work, I do think it's not necessary. But I think if you tried it, you'd see a big change in income.
Well, another question that we have is, how does just doing occasional product releases affect your status on Etsy? Now, this is interesting. And I haven't said anything about Etsy because I knew this question was here. But actually, Etsy really, really hates you if you wait ages before releasing stuff. Okay. So Etsy wants you to release like a couple of products a week because then you go up in the SEO. And obviously, the more you list, the more you're paying them. So if your business is purely on Etsy, then I don't know. It's difficult because I sell on Etsy and my own shop, and I do product launches now. But I also do know that Etsy really enjoys you to just sneak stuff on there.
And you're sending people to your shop from your newsletter, from your launch. You're not sending them to Etsy. Etsy's like bubbling away in the background, but I guess it is affecting it if you're like uploading things.
Yeah, I do hold back the products, and then because obviously it would make no sense for me to launch them on Etsy beforehand. I just think Etsy likes you more. Etsy's going to love you if you want to upload a product a day. If you upload a product a day on Etsy, they're going to push you to the top of their searches. So
that's so unsustainable, though, unless you are a big company. And then why are you on Etsy?
Mine, exactly.
That's a tricky one. Yeah, if you're only relying on Etsy, it might be worth, if you are looking to do a launch and structure your business like that, it might be worth setting up your own website and having both.
Yeah, because as you say, I only started doing product launches when I had my own website.
Yeah, because otherwise you're just sending people from your newsletter to Etsy, and then Etsy are like reaping all the rewards of you sending the traffic. The main thing about Etsy is it sends you traffic. That's why they take commission.
Interesting topic.
So do you have any like extra bits you want to add to any of that?
So can all you hear by the screaming child and my dog scratching at the door.
Do you want me to summarise?
Yes, you summarise.
Okay. So two things I wrote down that we didn't mention were we both give discount codes often in our launch emails.
Very good point, yeah.
Because I always think people have sales, like, randomly. And then I think that's quite nice. But at least if you give the discount code at the beginning, you're like thanking the people that are there ready to buy your work immediately, that want to support you. You're encouraging them to buy straight away, which is helpful because you've just made the product, you want to sell the product.
Yeah, and it encourages them to wait for the new stuff and the product launches because they know the code is coming with that.
Yeah, it's a incentive to sign up to the newsletter. And then the other thing, another bit of incentive could be that you give early access. So you couldn't do this on something like Etsy, but you could if you had your own shop, put a password on your site, give them the password in the email, they can get in and purchase before.
You do that, don't you?
Yeah, because I have, like, I only do it when I have products, like collages that are one-offs, just to give my subscribers more of a chance to purchase rather than people that aren't subscribed. So that's another thing to incentivize people to sign up and hopefully, like, create a successful launch. Right, we've got 3 minutes. I said I was gonna get you out the door by 5:45.
Oh, six. Thanks.
Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. And are people emailing after last time? Maybe.
I think we put people off emailing after last time. Just send us an Instagram message. We're more likely to find that.
Yeah, we're out of ink pod on Instagram.
If you do fancy emailing us, you still can at outofinkpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and there may be a delay. and don't forget to like, rate and subscribe and review and all the things.
Oh, and fill out our fun polls that Molly's been putting on our episodes. Very enjoyable.
They are quite fun.
So what poll did we have last week?
This is only for Spotify people, unfortunately, because I think it's the only app, or the only app that I access that has the option. The poll for last week was, I'll edit out this silence. So we asked, has your small business income changed this year compared to last? And 22% of people said it increased. So we're a bit jealous of them and we want to know their secret. And then no one said it stayed the same. And that is so true. If you're a small business, it's so up and down. I'm quite jealous of people that have like a normal job and they just know what their income is every year. You can plan with that.
Yeah, it's never the same, is it? You're not going to make the same amount every year ever as a small business. It's impossible.
And 77%. Although, I'm sorry, Spotify, but 22 and 77 does not make a 100. 77.
Wasn't there another one? Hang on, wasn't there a third?
It's 22, 0 and 77. They've messed up. 77% of people, their income has decreased, which is sad and also reassuring all at the same time.
Yeah, so thanks for filling out the poll. Very interesting data there.
Yeah, and also you can write nice things to us. If you scroll further down on Spotify, there's a Q&A. And I think 3 people left us really nice messages saying things like, they love the show, they love listening to us. And nice. Yeah, that is nice to see.
We should also say, because we put it on our Instagram, but obviously you might not be an Instagram follower, that we have recently celebrated 50,000 downloads.
Oh yeah, we
have. So thank you so much to all our lovely loyal listeners. That feels amazing, because I remember when we started this thinking, oh, three people will listen to it, and then we'll probably just decide not to make it after a few months. So I just feel like that's a huge achievement.
I think that equates to around 35,000 hours, which is terrifying that people spend that much time listening to us.
Wow.
Go find something else to listen to.
Never ever listen to our podcast slowed down, because it is terrifying.
We talked about it last, was it the Christmas episode? Honestly,
it was ages ago, but sometimes I remember it and it horrifies me that the thought of people might try it, and I think no.
Why would people want to drag it out? Get it over with, put it in fast forward.
People love it.
No, said never. Anyway, we'll be back next month. Our topic next month is going to be very useful for some of you. And it is, Bea's looking at me like, what is it? It is preparing for markets and shows. And I know a lot of small businesses have a lot coming up in the lead up to Christmas. God, we've mentioned Christmas in August. But also, if you're not doing loads of shows, maybe it will make you think about applying for some. Or make you think, oh, that sounds like an effort, I'm not going to do that.
Either way, it's worth a listen.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see you, or listen to you, or speak to you, whatever it is, next month. And Bea's going to go. And,
I'm going to go chop my baby in the bath now.
With love.
Oh, with so much love.